Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with gaming and life. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J Bond. With me,
as always, it's your boy Mike.
And we actually have a guest today. I don't know why I sound so like sad to be like, we have a guest.
We have a guest. Oh no.
No. We have a good friend of ours. Feel free to introduce yourself.
They call me Hug or CJ.
The Hug of war. I'll edit that out. I'm just immediately edit that. I'm not gonna edit it out though. I'm gonna leave it. But we're gonna pretend like I said it that I'm gonna do it.
We're gonna pretend we're semi-professional.
Yeah. So today is December 9th. It is Tuesday. It is raining here. It has been pouring like a bastard.
It's gloomy.
But, we are post PlayStation Experience. We are on the eve of the launch of the new Destiny expansion. We have a lot of things to talk about.
Almost too much.
Yeah. There is a lot.
Okay, so I'm just going to start by shitting on Destiny. No, I'm just kidding.
For real, though.
When you texted me and were like, you can't do the Nightfall with us, I was like, what are you talking about? And then I realized, after like reading some stuff, the Nightfall and the Weekly Strike are the DLC. So I cannot do them.
So the basic one that you would normally do each week?
You can't.
Why wouldn't they do a separate one?
Right. Who knows?
And here's the thing. Every time, I'm sure they'll end up in the rotation. That means every time they end up in the rotation, if you don't have the DLC, or potentially future DLC, I'm screwed for a week. Yep. It just basically means take a week off of Destiny because I'm not gonna eat all that experience. I'm just not gonna play.
Right, exactly.
Because like I like doing the weekly, I like doing the daily, I like doing the Nightfall. Yeah, if you don't have the DLC,
you can't play.
And nobody has said whether this is gonna be the trend. Like every time they're gonna do the DLC, it'll be the weekly and the Nightfall. Maybe they just haven't figured out a way to do it, except when they did the Queen's missions, it was on the bottom hand of the like left-handed.
It was a separate thing.
I mean, that
of course wasn't a DLC. That was everyone had access to that.
And the Vault of Glass is its own thing, so I assume, Mike, you would be the one.
Check.
Is the raid in Mars as its own thing, or is it one of the left-hand things as well?
No, the raid's on the moon.
The raid's on the moon, okay.
Yep. The raid is on the moon.
So, I guess what they're trying to do is make it so that you don't have two Nightfalls and two weeklies to do, which I understand, but at the same time, when you've got when you're limiting people who won't shell out an extra $20 for your game, then it's really a big slap in the face.
Pretty much.
Like, once he said that, I was like, wait, what? Why can't I do the Nightfall with you guys? You just do the new missions and whatever. I didn't realize that the Nightfall was the DLC.
I'm trying to check. I think, they did that on purpose. Like, well, we're just going to make it based off of the DLC instead of a regular Nightfall. Because they probably figure everyone's going to buy it. Wrong. It's not even that. Just not everyone wants to spend $20 for a piece of DLC.
Right.
Yeah, whether they like the game or not, there's plenty of people who love a game but won't spend money on the DLC.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I stopped buying Borderlands 2 DLC, and I have platinumed both Borderlands 1 and 2.
Right.
And I probably have more DLC for Borderlands 1 than I do for Borderlands 2, and I probably have spent more time on Borderlands 2.
Wait, hold up. Requires ears, quiz.
Okay. Oh, I'm like, oh, that's right, I can see it, because I'm watching I'm doing share play right now, I'm watching you.
Okay, yeah, I'm just trying to check real quick.
Yeah,
what the
so
deal
I can't,
is.
I couldn't even do it, because it says
okay,
the Dark
so,
Below.
It's a Dark Below mission-based strike, and of course the
heroic the weekly heroic
thing.
Is the same.
Same thing, okay. So I gotta do whatever on Earth to
get it.
So I have to unlock it, which is still pretty dumb. And then there's the strike on Mars.
Yeah, there's the strike on Mars.
Strike on Mars, nothing new on Venus. And then the raid on the moon.
Wait, so there's two raids, or there's a mission on Mars, but the raid is on the moon?
Yeah, the raid's on the moon.
Okay.
And then the strike is on Mars, but allegedly there's another strike you can unlock.
Oh, okay.
So there's two strikes. And unless they mean the Nightfall, then never mind. But
right. I mean, and
which is
that's
probably
the
what
thing. I'm not going to pay the $20 for two strikes, then I'm probably not going to play, because I don't, like, I don't do strike playlists. I don't bother.
Right.
I do the daily, I do the weekly, mm-hmm. and I do the nightfall. And usually what ends up happening is I do the daily every day, I try to do it, and then I always end up running the weekly and the nightfall with people multiple times, because it's only three people, so it's like I'll do it with you and Goober, or then I'll do it with, like, you and Nicole, or Hug and Goober, or Hug and Nicole, or whatever variation of, like, the seven people that I regularly play with.
Combination. You know,
that's, I'm not going to pay $20 for that. And then I'm not going to, and especially with the raid, because, you know, 90% of the people that I know now leveled up enough. Except now you can just friggin' buy your own gear. Cool.
Yeah, see, I don't know if SharePlay it in yet, but if you look at the light level on my boots, 24 out of 33. Yeah, yeah, see?
So basically, you don't even have to do the raid anymore, Vault of Glass, unless they change the gear that you get in the Vault of Glass to reflect it.
I need a group, but I could try and check it out. Or I guess, yeah, we could still do the Vault of Glass, never mind.
Right.
So we could try that, but yeah, I don't know. It's, I wasn't too elated after downloading it, because I was like, cool. At first I was like, cool, more stuff to do with everybody. But then I realized, wait, Andrew's probably not going to get it right off the bat anyways. And probably not anyone else, except for, I think, Nicole and Josh, because we all got the limited editions or whatever.
Right. Wait, Hug, do you don't have it, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, see.
And Sarah said she was only going to get it if I got it, because for the most part, I think I'm the only one who ever plays with Sarah, because she's got such weird out, like, she's only on such weird times, so...
By the time I get home from work, she's going to bed, yeah.
I wonder if Dave has it. Dave might have it.
He was on earlier, I thought. But, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Because he
got the special edition like you guys did. And that's, and here's the thing, you know what? I was thinking about this too, because I'm actually going to write like an open letter to Destiny, basically being like, here are the things that you started doing when you got the game, and then here are the things you do now, and like how all basically they've done is just take away from everyone who actually earned everything and just handed it to all the people who don't care, like who've just gotten in new or just didn't want to do the work. Because that's the thing, right? When you first started playing the game, you had to find the spin metal and the relic iron and all those things. And then if you wanted, you could store it and use it to upgrade stuff, or you could go and cash it in at the quartermasters for experience and marks.
Right.
Now I can't do that. So now I can't get a little bit extra experience or marks for the week because you've taken away my ability to cash it in. Which sucks, because that was a really good way for me to earn Crucible rank by turning it into the Crucible Quartermaster, which now I can't do. Now I have to play Crucible. There is no Crucible cloak I could go do missions on the moon, you know, missions on patrol and do. And then...
Right.
When you did the raid, you earned great weapons, and then you had to spend a buttload of time leveling them up. And if you bought some telemetries,
tamale trees.
Yeah, tamale trees. If you got some of the hot tamale trees from Zor, you could level them up faster.
Oh, wow.
But now, you can just buy all the materials you need to upgrade them anyways.
Pretty much.
And then, but you still have to level them up to get the experience, don't you?
But now you don't even have to think about it. Like, I would level stuff up and then be like, crap, I can't upgrade this for a while because I don't have the materials. Right. Now I can just go get them in tower. Except now every exotic, all of my exotics were literally like all leveled up, finally unlocked, but I didn't have the materials to do it. So now not only do I need Ascendant materials...
You gotta get that shard.
I need a stupid exotic shard.
Shard, yep.
So I don't think that's as bad, though. I mean, you only need one.
It's 7 coins. Yeah, you only need one. I have 4 exotics I need to level up. Yeah. So I, well, need to eat 28 coins. That's 4 weeks. That means I have to wait 4 weeks if I don't have any strange coins.
Because there's a new class thing now, too, as well.
Yeah, there's a new faction, apparently, I heard.
Yeah, it's the Crota's end thing. But, with some of the armor and stuff, it tells you you need like a crucible crucible recommendation or a combination or a vanguard. So yeah, all those need one of those items now as well, besides just the rank to buy it. So there's a whole new thing you have to earn now as besides. Yeah, you have to get accommodation now.
That's really weird.
So wait, it's not just
so
like,
they're just like the DLC Vanguard? Is like another game.
Yeah, for the most part.
To add in all this new stuff that you have to get only through the DLC, then it alienates everyone else, or like everything else, so that you're separating your DLC and your main game. Instead of just adding new content, it's like a new... That's dumb.
Well, there's
but don't worry.
There's the icon content telling you, hey, this is only for Dark Below.
But that's still annoying.
So, I mean, it's still...
If you guys jump on, you're not going to see it, obviously, but... It's pretty dumb.
Though. I guess my problem is it's different in the sense that, like, Borderlands DLC, if you didn't have it, you just couldn't level up to a certain level. And there were certain guns you couldn't use. But it didn't change the way the experience and leveling stuff up worked.
Right.
You know, it didn't break the system. It just said, if you don't have this DLC, you can only be 50. You can't be 55. And you may find guns that you can't use because you don't have this DLC. It didn't... It wasn't like, oh, hey, now you have to rank up a whole nother set of experience.
Yeah.
And earn whatever or complete certain tasks. That part I don't like.
Right. But plus, don't you're worry. Still having to do both. So now you have twice the amount of stuff that you need to focus
on.
Because
you can still only level up one at a time, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, it's okay. Your progress will transfer over to Destiny 2.
Oh, great.
Why is that even a thing right now? I read that and almost flipped my desk. Like, we haven't even had this game for a year.
Right.
Nobody should be talking about Destiny 2. Bungie shouldn't be talking about it. People shouldn't be talking about it. There should be no discussion about Destiny 2. We are not even close. Not even, like, it pisses me off that they're even close to, they're even considering the ability of making sure your character progress transfers. No!
I don't care about that.
Let me enjoy this game for a while. If this is a 10-year thing, like, Borderlands 2 has been out forever. And Borderlands 2 didn't transfer progress from Borderlands 1. And it's a very successful game. Why can't you just, like, take a page out of their playbook?
Right. I don't know. Don't know. So what do you think about all the mess that is Destiny... CJ?
I don't know. I think a lot of the issue with the way we feel about Destiny has to do with that Bungie advertised it as something that it wasn't to begin with. So we had all these expectations that it would be something that it wasn't ever going to be. And so everyone still wants it to be that when Bungie isn't moving towards that. And so everyone's still upset with what Bungie's doing. And that's not... I'm not saying that what Bungie's doing should be accepted, because, let's face it, they're making a lot of mistakes. But at the same time, it's like... It seems like the fan base for Destiny and Bungie are on two completely different pages at all times.
Right.
That's fair.
That's pretty fair.
I look at people... Like, I wanted to give this game, like, an 8 out of 10. And then I sit there and I'm just like, but it really isn't, it can't be an 8 out of 10 only because it doesn't do, like, I don't rate games out of 10 comparing them to other games. I say, I look at the game and I objectively and I just say, this is what the game said it was going to do. Does the game do it? And I rate the game as a scale of 10 on that. So a 10 out of 10 would be the game set out to do an objective and it completed it successfully and it did it well, right?
Right.
This game is not an 8 out of 10. This game is like a 6.5 out of 10 because you told us you were going to give us a great story and you told us somehow the game was going to last 10 years and it doesn't do that. Like, I'm looking at the game right now where we are trying to figure out how the game goes for 10 years.
Right, because if Destiny 2 is just more of the same, it's just going to die out.
Yeah, because no one wants to play the same game again.
Yeah, like Halo as a franchise had a multiplayer system that was, you know, it's more competitive than I would say Destiny is right now. And it's way easier to get into it and enjoy it.
Right, like, and Crucible it also evolved over the years and improved upon itself.
But the story of Halo, like, people, like, here's the thing. And it may, I mean, I'm totally making an assumption, but I think it's a fair assumption. People bought Halo because of the story. People buy Call of Duty because of the multiplayer, right? Mm-hmm. But the multiplayer in Halo is just as strong as the story of the game. And Destiny does not have a strong story, and it hasn't yet developed a strong multiplayer system, hugely lacking private matches. There right. can be no competitive...
Right, there's a lot that Bungie did right before that they failed to do again.
Yeah, they just, like, and people, I get it, people were probably thinking, we don't want to replicate what we did with Halo, and I'm thinking, why not?
To some extent, though, it's like, that's okay. Nobody's going to fault you and be like, oh, you're just making you're the just same making game. Because, the same thing honestly, because everyone's doing that anyways.
Yeah, like,
Call because you made a sci-fi right. shooter. So they're right. still saying, you did the same thing again. So it's like, you can't please everyone.
It's true.
Yep.
I don't know. I really did like Destiny when it was first out.
Yeah.
But then, when they progressively started to change it, like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I was like, okay, whatever, you know. Buff the guns, whatever, change it. But then they started to do the whole, okay, well, we're going to change loot system. You can't do the caves.
You change the way the weapons upgrade. You change the way I earn experience. And then you penalized me. You basically said, oh, hey, we know you've already upgraded all your weapons and unlocked them, but now we're just going to make it so you can just get the materials whenever you want. And you can just buy the gear now. Like, you don't have to do the raid to get the gear. That was, like, the whole point about people wanting to do the raid. The raid was exciting because you had the potential to get this great gear. And now you can just go buy it.
You can buy raid gear? Where?
Well, you can't buy raid gear, but now you can buy gear that has a light level of 33.
Yeah.
Right, from the Iron Banner and stuff.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, now you can just straight up buy it. It's in the Vanguard, the whatever, you know, the Vanguard Hunter... Titan, you can go to them and it's just there.
They have level 30, really?
Because of the new DLC.
Yeah, because, you can just straight up buy them.
Yep. Yeah, okay, because the last time I checked,
they only had like 27. That's dumb.
That's my whole problem. That's
what I was bitching about in Skype. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, it's probably a dumb thing to bitch about that. Like, because you think, okay, cool, now I can just buy it, but.
But
I don't want to buy it.
We pumped in all those hours earning gear, running the raids, doing weeklies, doing dailies, farming materials. Like,
and it's like all of that is just like, oh, why'd we do that?
Yeah, now they're just like, oh, it's cool. You can just go buy it now, which is great for somebody coming into the game. But for me, it takes out the, like, now there's no desire for me to even bother. Like, I don't have to do the raid. I can just go buy the gear.
Yeah,
but like, why worry about doing all that stuff with the DLC now? Because, you know, when the next one comes out, you can just go buy it.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know if the problem is it makes it so that I don't want to play the game. The allure of playing the raid was getting the gear. If I can buy the gear, the allure of doing the raid is gone. So why would it? So now, and then you keep doing that kind of subtractive process. Well, why am I even playing the game? Because it's like a game that they basically just kind of crippled their own system of making you earn what you get.
Right. And I feel like the way they did it with the DLC, to me it seems like they didn't expect everyone to be so rushed and straight up to level 30 right away, because as soon as you start it, they hand you a package with, like, blue gear and two ascendant materials, whatever. Like, here you go, so you can upgrade everything. It's like, no, you only gave me two each. First off, that's not going to do anything. And then you allow me to buy all this stuff and start all these missions that make no sense now because I don't even remember the story. So it seems like it's all...
disjointed.
You know, it's like you're doing this, but then they talk about the Black Garden again. But then they're like, no, we're talking about this, though. It's like,
wait, what's the Black Garden? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, did it end or are we starting a new story now? Like, what's going on?
My problem is they really, like, and I don't even get this only because... nobody dies in the game, right? Not a single person in the game that you interact with is torn away from you. Nothing. Nope. There's no point in the game where I'm like, I need to do this. Like, when you're playing, and like, Halo is probably the easiest game to reference only because it's the game they made. But like, when you're playing Halo, you're like, the Earth is screwed. This ship is screwed. Like, Captain Keys, Miranda Keys, or, you know, Sergeant Johnson. Like, you had these pivotal characters that came up in the game multiple times where you built a relationship with them over the, you know, 12 or whatever hours, however many hours it took you to beat the game. That mm-hmm. never, you never build a relationship with the speaker where you're like, damn, I really need to fight back the light. You know?
Yeah.
Nothing drives me to want to beat the game, the story, other than mm-hmm. just to get it out of the way.
Right. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And, like, now they're just kind of, like, applying that same type of system to doing the multiplayer and doing the raid and stuff, because it's like,
that's hey, kind of how I felt about Destiny story, for a long time.
So now
time.
It's just do these missions over and over again, rinse and repeat. The fun part about it was that I was playing with my friends and I had a good time playing it. And if you got some exotic gear or some legendary gear, you were like, yes! Mm-hmm. And then now it's just like, oh, well, I'll just go buy it all. Whatever.
Yeah, that's a lot of why I didn't play Destiny unless I was playing with friends, because it was like, I felt like I had no reason to do any of what I was doing. Because I was like, you know, at the point, you know, before I was high enough level to get into the raid, I'm like, okay, I'm getting this gear so that I can get into the raid. And then I'm going to do the raid so that I can, what?
Get more gear.
Yeah,
prepare it's just... more raids. But if they're just going to give you the gear before the raids, it's like, oh, okay, cool.
But it just seems like I don't feel driven to do any of that because nothing, it's like you're only doing this so that you can do it again later.
Pretty much. So it's pretty much, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's tough. And at the same time for them, I'll say that it's in the benefit of the doubt for them, is it's an interesting problem, right? It's an MMO first-person shooter. It's not like League of Legends or World of Warcraft or, like, whatever, where, like, the raids are set up differently and it's more based on your character's experience. There is... I mean, I've never played those games, but I feel like it's not the same as, like, you can play other methods of the game to get gear to use mm-hmm. in the raids, you know?
Right.
It's like that game is, from what I know of it, is built around the whole concept of you yourself have to level up your character, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is no way to cheat that system where, like, basically Destiny is now like, oh, go to tower and just get yourself some better gear.
Yeah. Eliminate the grind.
Yeah. Where, like, grind at least in, you know, in Borderlands, like, you know, you might find gear that you couldn't use if you weren't that character, which that's what Destiny does. You get some gear that you can't use, except the problem mm-hmm. was is it the system didn't, like, have any scale to it, so, like, you'd be, I'm a level 30 and I constantly get crap gear.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah, that's all in all, I hate that they got rid of the grind.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing to say that, right? It's like, man, I hate having to spend, like, 10 hours leveling stuff up. But, like, now it's like, well, what's the point if I can just buy the gear? Meh.
Like, now when we play, I'm just like, yay.
Right. I don't know. I mean, the grind is what you want in a game like that. I mean, Borderlands 2, that's what you do in Borderlands 2. But in Borderlands 2, it's fun.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
In Destiny, you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Each week they offer you a handful of missions that you just repeat.
Yeah.
Well, and I think even that, like, when you think about it that way, like, Borderlands had arguably more worlds for you to explore, whereas, like, when you go to Mars, it's just Mars. It's just...
Right, yeah.
It's like when you go to Venus. Venus, I would say, is relatively... It has more, like, different textured areas than... Mm-hmm. You know, the moon is just kind of the moon. And mm-hmm. then, but like, and then there's like the space station stuff, and then there's Hellmouth, and then you've got Russia, which is just like apocalyptic, destroyed, rusty stuff. But mm-hmm. it's like everything is rusty in like the same kind of way.
Everything just feels so monochromatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I don't know. It's tough. And the worlds aren't as big as you would think they are. Like Borderlands... It takes a long time to travel around a place.
Yeah, because it's one giant world.
Yeah. It's like, even if you were to span Cosmodrome and run from one end of it to the other, like...
It doesn't take that long.
It doesn't take that long.
It feels like a giant circle.
It is.
Well, like, when you think
it is in some areas. It definitely loops.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are the gripes with Destiny. But.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, it just, I'm just annoyed because, and then I have, like, I was on Twitter today, and one of the people that I tweet with a lot, well, I don't tweet with her a lot, but I tweet, like, Destiny stuff at her, and she was asking, like, why I was kind of bummed out about the game, and I was like, well, because they changed the upgrade system. I was like, so now it's gonna, now I'm gonna have to spend a ton of exotic shards to upgrade my exotics, and she was like, you only need one, and I'm like, no, you need one shard per weapon. I have four exotics. And she was like, you don't need four exotics. And I was like, you've never done the raid. You don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she was, like, telling me, like, you, I only need, like, two. She was like, I don't need more than one exotic. And I'm like, no, you actually do. They're more powerful. Like, that's probably why you haven't done the, like, not to, I'm not trying to pick, but, you know, the reason you probably haven't done the raid is because you don't even have that much, you don't have that much gear. If you don't have more than one exotic, like, the Icebreaker is pivotal at Atheon. It is the most powerful weapon next to Gjallarhorn. It is, and that's only, you know, Gjallarhorn only works if everybody has one.
Has one, yeah.
Because you just,
right,
because,
you know, I mean, even I sit rocket, there in the back with my Gjallarhorn, and it rocket, still takes us four or five cycles to do it.
One Gjallarhorn rocket does a ton of DPS, but it's slow firing, and then you gotta reload, and you only have, like, what, seven rockets, I think?
It's, I think it holds seven total if you have the upgrade high enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it holds two before you need to reload it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, whereas the Icebreaker is six shots, so 6 times 6 is 36 versus 6 times 2 is 12. And it's like my Icebreaker is now maxed, but when it wasn't, the second to last level, it was doing 14,000 per hit when you have the buff.
And
it's like, well, so I can do, you know, upwards of 100,000 DPS to him with my Icebreaker and then switch to it, you know, something else.
Right.
But it's like, but during, you know, the Templar, when you're doing the waves of goblins and stuff, Hard Light is awesome. 56 rounds, high firing, good impact. It's like, and then you use a shotgun. I mean, you could use Invective because it regenerates ammo, but I prefer the Invisible Hand. You know, I'm switching my weapons constantly when I'm doing the raid, or even during weekly heroic and nightfall and stuff. Like, it is beneficial to have more than one exotic weapon.
More than one, yeah.
But now you've changed my upgrade system, so now I need another thing. I need another form of in-game currency just to finish leveling up a weapon. And I don't even understand the concept of why. Like, were people... like, if people were farming marks by doing missions to then buy weapons and dismantle them, I don't see how that's cheating the system. It takes time to earn the marks. You need 150 to buy a gun.
Yep.
And I don't know... you know, it's like you can only... yeah, you can do the daily every day, and the weekly once a week. So you have 9 chances to get an to get a legendary weapon or maybe an exotic.
Right.
In the course of a week. Because you can do the daily 7 times, you can do the weekly heroic once, and you can do the nightfall once. That's 9. Plus the raid. So you have 10 and you, I guess you could do the raid on normal and hard. So 11 chances.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know, yeah. Whatever they're monitoring, or however they're monitoring it, is ridiculous. I don't know exactly what they're watching for, but they're doing it wrong.
No, it's not. I would love. That's why I tweeted at Deej and was like, I'd love to, like, have a sit down chat with him and just like. And just, can you just explain to me what the rationale is behind some of these decisions? Because from my player perspective, I don't see why this is a good idea.
Well, it kind of feels like they're just spitballing, trying to figure out what works.
Right. I kind of want to see their forums and see who's complaining, because that's what it seems like. It's like, oh, it's too hard, or it takes too long to upgrade this, or this, and this, and this. Like, all right, well, we're just going to change it then. But it was the worst decision ever. Because it's not that hard to farm for spin metal and all that nonsense.
No.
Yeah, it's easy to find all that. It's no problem.
You just have to do it, and people just don't want to do it. So it's like, oh, we'll just cater to them. Which all it does is water down the game.
Or if it's because people were farming, then
But still. My problem is, if they were farming it, what's the problem? They have to go to where it is and hold square and collect it.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not like you can farm spin metal the way people were farming engrams from the cave.
Right, you're not doing it in a way that they didn't intend you to do it. Like, you're getting it from chests and from spawns where it randomly spawns periodically while you're in that area.
Yeah.
Just because you're running in a circle hitting all those spawn places, yes, that's farming, but, like, you're still utilizing the game the way it was intended
and
to work.
I can't force the chests or the spin metal to respawn. They spawn time they are. If I just happen to know about where it spawns,
then it's
just an advantage to me, but the time is still based on the game. It's no different than I used to do my one-hour gauntlet on Cosmo. I knew exactly where the three public events spawned and at what time, so I would go to those areas, collect whatever spin metal, do the event, then go to the next place, repeat, and then go to the next place, and in 1 hour I could do three public events, which meant I had three chances to get Ascendant Materials. One guaranteed from the first one you do, but each event you do, you have a chance to get materials. So one, I'm doing this in hopes that I get something from the game, not because I'm guaranteed something from the game. That's not farming. It's like that's playing the damn game. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been on Destiny for like 30 minutes at this point.
Basically.
It's really topic jump.
It's just frustrating.
It's frustrating. I can't.
Yeah, it's easy to go on about it.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation experience.
Yeah.
Lots of cool stuff.
Didn't attend.
Some more not quite as cool stuff.
Didn't watch
some other really disappointing stuff.
Like Final Fantasy.
How about that Final Fantasy, though?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not a big deal, but that's my favorite Final Fantasy, even though it's not that great.
Isn't it like everybody's favorite Final Fantasy?
It's
Final
the
Fantasy
most
7?
Popular
it's
one.
It's the most popular, but I'd say more close to 10 and 10-2.
A lot of people are big fans of, like, 10 is my favorite.
Which one's really love with 10. Cloud and he's holding the knife?
7.
That's 7. Okay,
that's
there
7.
You go.
7, yeah.
Is it bad I've never really played a Final Fantasy game?
I mean, I'm surprised how into JRPGs you are.
I'm not that into JRPGs. I do really like them. But that's because I think that's because I grew up always playing, like, Zelda. And, like, that would have been, like, my JRPG back in the day.
Mm.
But, like, Illusion of Gaia is probably one of my favorite Super Nintendo games, and that's definitely
that's
JRPG.
A good one. Yeah, that's a good one. And then the Tales series.
Yep.
But, just not... Wasn't too excited about that when I saw, I think, Josh or whoever is using the one, either of them using the Twitter, whatever.
Why? My problem is, maybe this is just the part where I don't understand. If they're giving you the game on the PS4, but it's a port of a PC rather than they're rebuilding it, like from the ground up.
Because obviously they can do it. They made the tech demo.
Sure.
I mean, even if it's just a CGI cutscene type thing, whatever. They still can do it. They just don't want to.
Right. Okay.
That's how I see it, because they want whatever one of the Final Fantasies that failed, they want that one to work first before they make anything else. Like with Kingdom Hearts and all that. They didn't want to make it yet because they wanted Final Fantasy to succeed.
Why is Final Fantasy not succeeding?
It's after, I think, what, 12?
I think it was 13 was the...
13, yeah.
Wait,
12 or 13.
Wait, the one that's on PS4 right now? The A Realm Reborn thing?
No, that's 14.
No,
14's doing great.
Yeah, 14's doing great. But 13, with Lightning...
There were a lot of issues with it. Like, there was 13, and then there was 13-2, and then they kind of rebooted it in a weird way with Lightning Returns. I don't know. 13 just didn't do that well, and a lot of fans were really disappointed with it.
So instead they wanted to not make a new one and they just want 7 again?
No, fans want 7.
Right.
But they don't want to do that unless, I think, what, 15 or whatever?
They're really pushing 15 right now. And, like, everything they've shown is like, 15 looks great, but what do I do in it?
Yeah.
Because all I can see right now is that you drive around in a car and see this giant world with a song that only loops, like, 8 seconds of actual different notes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. They want to push that first. If that succeeds, then they'll, whatever. They'll do whatever.
Except now they're giving you the game, just not remastered.
Just not the one people want, yeah.
Wait, so wait, they don't want... People are going to not buy this game because they want it to be in slightly better graphics than the PC
port. Oh, no, they'll still buy it. They'll still buy it, yeah. It's whatever.
So
it's
people are pissed because... Enough. Wait, so people want just the better graphics?
Yeah.
Yeah, they want the remastered version.
I'm shaking my head right now. Because like, this is one of those times where I'm like, wait, they're giving you what you want, and you're like, no.
Yeah, we want Final Fantasy VII, but not that one. We want the one you showed for the tech demo of PS3. We want that one, is basically what they're saying.
Gotcha.
But most are like, whatever, it's Final Fantasy VII on PS4, we'll take it, whatever, good enough.
It's got to look better than the PS3 version, though, no?
And they're claiming it runs in, what, 1080p or whatever?
Most things so, on guess, PS4 do, so.
Yeah, so it'll look sharper or whatever. But, I mean, I'll still buy it, whatever. It'll be, like, the third time I bought it, but that's because I'm
sucker. Yeah, my thing is, how many people have bought it, the PS Classic, on the PSN store? Like, probably a billion.
Yeah. And I let my buddy the disc version. So, yeah, the third or fourth time I bought it.
I have the Final Fantasy VII demo disc, actually. I have the PlayStation demo disc. The
PlayStation one, yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah. Enough about Final Fantasy. What else? Uncharted 4, of course.
We're just gonna skip right over that one.
Yeah,
we can talk about game. Uncharted.
Uncharted 4, though.
Uncharted 4.
A lot of people were disappointed with what they saw, and I don't get it.
I don't get their disappointment
because their complaints really have no traction. Like, what they showed us was clearly really, really early on. Like, the game, like, yes, it was rendered well enough to look good, but at the same time, it's like, it was a game mechanic demo, was what it was. They were showing you how combat works. Like, the game is still at a really early stage, and for you to expect it to look phenomenal right now,
Yeah, it's like asking if it could be done already. It's not. It's far from done.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't get it.
But I really enjoyed what they showed because the way they added in some of the combat from The Last of Us and like being able to break line of sight and find a new way to get around your enemy and like do things stealthily. And I think it was Andrew that said yesterday when we were talking about this that it kind of works with the lore too, because it's like Drake's getting older. He can't necessarily just, you know,
go and beat
look
up.
At the world down the barrel
exactly.
of a gun the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, it does. I mean, it's no different than like the way Joel had to approach situations. I mean, it's different in his case, you know, because you've got clickers that are like listening for you. And my guess is that probably is not quite that deep. But yeah, Nathan Drake, we're looking at an older Nathan Drake than we're used to. So it would make sense for the game to be like, well, he can't quite do these things anymore. You know, maybe he can't jump as far. Maybe he can't. And like that even, you know, you even kind of experienced that in Golden Abyss. Like there was that part where like Sully goes to make the jump or – no, Nathan goes to make the jump and he doesn't make it. Or was it Sully? No, it was Nathan.
No, it was Sully.
Was it Sully? I can't remember. I just remember he tried to jump across the thing and then he didn't.
If it was Nathan, it was probably because he was shot.
No, he doesn't get shot. They jump and then you have no. It's totally. I don't
remember.
Sure
it's Sully. I'm pretty sure it's Sully.
Yeah. Either way, they go to make the jump and he doesn't make it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm literally watching this gameplay video right now.
I'm not worried about it. It's, I mean,
it's too early. It's no different.
Yeah,
than, like,
it is really early for sure. But I mean, at the same time, like. I wanted Naughty Dog to do something new with the PS4, but I get it. You know, you want to have one more Uncharted to do with this new hardware that they're really enjoying. And it's clearly, they clearly intend for it to end with Uncharted 4. They're not going to keep going with Nathan Drake's story, like with that subtitle, A Thief's End. If they go on from that, then they're just really milking it. And Naughty Dog is not known to do that.
Right.
Right.
And of course, there were the rumors about the Uncharted trilogy. Well, I guess it's not technically a trilogy, but 1, 2, and 3 remaster for the PS4. I don't know how much traction that holds. It would be kind of cool. honestly.
Yeah.
Because, like, with The Last of Us, it didn't technically need it. It was only a year old. At this point, Uncharted 1...
their engine, though.
For sure. It was definitely more of a tech demo.
Yeah.
Right. But at this point, Uncharted 1 could use a remaster. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if they could add multiplayer. That'd be kind of neat. They wouldn't.
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of Uncharted's multiplayer. I mean, I know a lot of people were, and I'm not saying it's bad. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
Mm. Me too.
Yeah, I mean, played it because I don't know. Fun. I don't know why people would be upset.
I have high hopes, and I'm really not worried about it. Naughty Dog's going to do their thing, and it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. It's a studio you can trust for the most part.
That's right. The thing.
So like, yeah,
they haven't made any like company destroying mistakes
that we know of.
That we know of. Of course, there's also rumors going on that they may have bought back the rights to Crash, and we might be seeing something new from them. Actually doing Crash, which would be cool, but I don't know. At the same time, it's like there's not enough information on that.
Right.
And the Crash has gone through so many iterations at this point that it's like, what are we going to get out of it? Like, are they going to go back and just do like 1 and 2 again?
Yeah.
Are they going to do something that's like that, or are they going to do something like 3D with Crash in their style? I don't know.
Well, it's no different than Greg Miller once said. Do you really want Naughty Dog to make a new Jack game?
Right, that's the thing. Like, I've always said that. It's like, it's better to move forward. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Jack and Crash were great games, and we enjoyed them, but if you keep doing it, then you just get to a point where you're just beating a dead horse.
That's all you are now is...
So, yeah, I mean, they made The Last of Us. They proved that they can make a new IP and deliver it perfectly, just nearly flawlessly. And I think they need to do that again. I mean, I wouldn't mind a new Last of Us games. I have my views on what I would like to see in a Last of Us sequel, but I think they do still have two teams. So the next team, when they're done with Uncharted 4, needs to work on something new.
Agreed.
I agree. Yeah. Unless they're going to change the way the whole, you know, the whole team development process works, which is totally, they could totally reinvent it because now it's different, you know?
Yeah.
They may have had, I mean, I don't know when and where the two-team process worked, but, you know, their development cycle is so much longer than you would expect because they generally only, you know...
It is.
They were generally only
like they started on The Last of Us right after Uncharted 2.
That's the thing, right? So it's like, you know, you've got this kind of super long development cycle, and now it's PS4 for the next, you know, I mean, they say 10 years, but even if it was 6 years, so you've got 5 more years of working on this console. Are you really going to be pumping out 2 games in 5 years? I don't know. Probably not.
I would assume not, yeah.
Yeah, they might all just kind of reemerge.
Because, like, my thing was, is I honestly looked at The Last of Us Remastered as a way for them to just make the game that they could put out. And because the thing is they would already have all the assets. They might have to rebuild the assets, but they know exactly what everything has to look like, what everything has to do. That part is already done for them. So building The Last of Us Remastered on the PS4 was more of their way of just being like, can we do this? Do we have an engine that's functional? And then how much
right, and then what how works much and of what this doesn't.
Engine can we take while we use Uncharted 4? Or what can we improve upon it when we get to Uncharted 4? And that's honestly where I saw The Last of Us Remastered.
Right.
It's just a fully functional tech demo
a
for
preview,
them.
A preview, yeah. Just a preview of what they can do.
Yeah.
Let's talk smaller games. Grim Fandango has a release date now.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they said February, right?
I think so, yeah.
Confirm or deny? I'm pretty sure they said somewhere in February, which is really cool.
Did you play it before?
I did not.
Grim Fandango
so I'm excited to play
it
for the first time.
I didn't play it.
What's his
I
face?
Was like one of like Tim Schafer 10 Studio? People who did not raise their hands during the Grim Fandango panel at PAX Prime. They were like, everybody raise your hand if you've played Grim Fandango. And, like, I didn't raise... It was like, I was one of those things where, oh, it's going to be, like, half of the people. And, like, it was like, everybody raised their hands. And, it, like, Adam Boys was, like, in the front row, and we were, like, to the right of him. And I was like, please don't turn around. Please don't turn around. Please don't turn around. I guess it's going to look really bad when he's like, you haven't played the game? I'm like, nope. No, I haven't.
Whoops.
I don't know why people are like, I'm still watching this Uncharted footage, and it's not bad. I don't know why people are, I like the UI.
I didn't even think it was the game. I thought it was like a cutscene.
No,
thing,
it's they're playing, I mean, I'm watching playing footage. She's, Nathan Drake is shooting at people right now. Well, now he's climbing, but yeah, but anyways, Grim Fandango. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's one of those games that's... It's one of those things where, like, that's what I'd prefer to see Sony do more often than not. Like, go rebuild old games and remaster them and do all this kind of cool stuff and just, you know, bring it back. Bring it back home, you know? Like, take these old games that a ton of people loved, because you've still probably got those people as fans. The you know, mm-hmm. the younger PlayStation 1 people are probably still playing PlayStation, or would probably be willing to buy a PlayStation 4 if all of a sudden you started bringing back a ton of their classic games on the new console rather than just PS Now, you know, buy the classic version and play it in crappy resolution.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It's like a throwback to the old school fans.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, that's my favorite part. I mean, I love just playing the existing games, but...
Right.
You know, because I have all
the games. So I'm excited for the Resident Evil remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard that the GameCube version still holds up, honestly.
It does. If you look at the GameCube, like, there's a YouTube video, and it, I think it was IGN who posted it, and it was
like side-by-side?
Yeah, it was side-by-side GameCube versus, like, PS4, and it is impressive how well the GameCube holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's basically just, like, the lighting.
I think it's just, and it's just a cleaner. Bit of
it, yeah. It's, yeah, the lighting, and it got a little crispier. Like, the lighting, there's just more... Mm-hmm. processing power to do more with the lighting mm-hmm. effects, but otherwise, it's pretty damn impressive. Like, the cutscenes are very tough to discern, mm-hmm. but, like, the actual in-game stuff, it's actually really impressive. I mean, I was actually pretty impressed by the GameCube, how well it mm-hmm. was able to hold up all these years.
Yeah. Still pretty damn good.
Yeah, still pretty damn good.
I'm excited to play Journey again on the PS4.
I never got to play it, so...
Oh, so you never played it? Definitely got to play it.
Yeah, I never played it, yeah. Oh. Never got to play it.
Yeah, 100% of it. I love it. It's such a good game.
I missed out.
It is.
True.
Missed out on it.
And I don't really expect it to be much different. I mean, obviously, 1080p.
I wouldn't think so, yeah.
I don't think they're going to add much.
I thought it looked so good back in the day, too, so now I'm just like...
It looked good then. So, like, I'm just excited to play it again. I'm just excited to have a reason to play it again. I'm not going to go turn on my PS3 and play it, but when it comes out on PS4, I'll be like, heck yeah, I'm going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect them to do anything with it otherwise than make it 1080p.
Right, make it look a lot prettier.
It's just a good game. I'd want to play it again.
Yeah.
Media Molecule is bringing Tearaway to the PS4.
Right? Yep.
That's going to be pretty exciting.
Super psyched.
I don't know how I feel about it, because, like, on the one hand, it's cool. Tearaway's coming to PS4. It's going to open it up to a lot of new people who don't have a Vita. But at the same time, when they do that, it kind of takes away one of the Vita's biggest selling points. Because it's like, oh, I'm getting a Vita. What game should I get? Well, you should get Tearaway, because it's a great game, and it really utilizes all these different things about the Vita and what it can do. And they're like, well, why should I get that? I have a PS4 with Tearaway on that.
Right.
Yeah. And I get that they're not exactly the same, but at the same time, they kind of are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough choice. Like, if you've already played it, do you really want to play it again, or... It's one of those things again. Not that it's not a good game to play, But so do you really want to buy and play it again? Unless it really is going to be different, then...
Well,
as far as I know, I mean, I know they're doing the story slightly differently. I guess it is going to be a different iteration of it, but
right.
I don't think it's different enough.
Well, originally, I think they wanted to make it for the PS4, but instead made it for the Vita. Like, I think originally they wanted the Tearaway to come out on the PS4. But instead it came out on the Vita, which I think was better for it. I think it was a better experience overall. I think the experience itself will change because the whole story revolves around you as a player and the Iota and the whole experience between the two. And the Vita's the intimacy of the Vita and the front camera and the back camera and the, you know, you're holding this tactile thing. That whole relationship is completely changed when it becomes couch TV and controller. I don't really know exactly how this. I didn't play it. I didn't see it. I'm kind of avoiding looking at it because I don't want to kind of ruin it. But it's a totally different. You're putting this. If the story is truly like kind of the same thing, it's a completely different experience for the player. And I don't know that it's for the worse or for the better. It's definitely just going to be different. You know, I think for me, I would much rather play it on the Vita than I would on the PS4. But I mean, who knows? I don't know. Like, I still think Sound Shapes is the best on the Vita. I think it's terrible to build
another game
level.
I haven't played.
Like, building a level on the console is miserable. Building a level on the Vita is so intuitive.
Oh, because it's just the tap, the because
you can just
screen,
you can touch
and
you can and just making things is so much easier to lay it out and visualize it on the Vita because you've got the ability to touch and pinch and rotate. And, like, you can do that on the controller, too. It's just, it's so much more...
It's,
like,
frustrating.
You're just, like, restricted because, like, you've got to remember, like, the commands and hitting the buttons to do stuff. And it's not, it's just easier to kind of, it's more fluid, I guess, is basically what it comes down to. It's more fluid to build a level in Sound Shapes on the Vita than it is on anything else.
I'd imagine, yeah.
So it's kind of weird when you take a game that was designed for the Vita and then, or designed on the Vita and then put it on that, the big screen. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'll probably still get it.
Right. Planet Side 2. How about that?
I played Planet Side 2 at PAX Prime.
Wasn't it like, it's not even a big deal or whatever?
It's not, what I've been it's doing. Not a big deal, but it's the, I think it's only a big deal for the people who play Planet Side. You know, like I think for them it's the next installment and there, you know, are improvements that have been made to the way the game system works and it's on the PS4 and you know, all that fun stuff. For a person on the outside of that experience and on the outside of games like that, I don't see the appeal. Like I played the game and the woman set it up, she's fantastic. She works for one of the she works in a development cycle. And so, like, she was super explaining everything to me. And, like, I jumped into the game, and I probably spent, like, 10 minutes traversing the giant map. Because it was so... The game was so not populated. Because there, it's, you know, it's there, you're running whatever build it was. And I finally... finally encountered enemies and they were in a tank and they killed me in 2 seconds. And like me and the other three kids I was with were like, all that time just to get killed like instantly.
Right. And was it against, like, another team or did they have
to set up we were playing against actual people. And then there was a 12-year-old kid on the other side of the booth at one of the other stations. And like he came over to us because we were all as a group. And he, like, schooled us and showed us so much stuff. Like, and I was like, damn, like, this kid obviously has been playing the game. He's, like, super familiar with it. And from him, I gathered that the game had way more than I could gather from it playing the game myself.
Oh, wow.
Because there's too much stuff for the game to try and show you if you have no idea what you're doing. Because it's like putting you in a sandbox with a million tools and being like, make something. Because you'd be like, well, I don't know what to do. There's too many options.
Right.
And like, there's, you know...
It's, so one it's of more those, frustrating than it is
It's not even
enjoyable.
That it's frustrating. I had I known more about what I was doing, You know, like, mm-hmm. I hate to say that I want a tutorial, but, like, had the game given me some form of a tutorial, I might have been more excited about
Right.
It just kind of seems like it's one of those things where it's made for the existing fan base.
Right.
And it isn't really open to invite new people in.
Right. I mean, it would just be a bigger crutch to overcome going mm-hmm. into that game as a new player, because you're going in with all the other people who've been playing it forever, and they're just adapting right into it, no problem.
Yeah.
Right. So, but whatever. I mean, it looked really good. It played really good. You know, mm-hmm. it had mm-hmm. cool stuff. Like, it had cool cars, cool weapons. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm interested. You know. Yeah.
So. But it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
There's Bloodborne. Everyone seems to be excited for
Dark Souls Bloodborne.
See,
edition.
Now Bloodborne was made by the same people who made Dark Souls.
Yep. From software.
So, but from what I've seen, it looks a little different mm-hmm. in that seems like it's not so like. It doesn't seem as punishing as Dark Souls did to me.
It's punishing.
Right.
It doesn't seem
quite so bad. I mean, I never played Dark Souls, so I don't have a reference point, but I played Bloodborne at PAX Prime, and it's really, really good. And from watching the videos of Bloodborne now, the build is so much better. It's so much more fluid. Like, just the mm-hmm. like the character animations and motions were all there, and they were crispy and great, but like doing a dash didn't feel as like responsive and fluid in an attempt to get away from an enemy. Like, watching those videos of people playing it now, so much better. Like, I feel like if I got to play it now, I'd be so much more hyped for the game, because like mm-hmm. I don't like playing games where like having to counter and defend is a thing for me. Like, I just want to just run up and hack and smash, and
I'm the same way. That's why I didn't really care for like Dark Souls and the Lords of the Fallen, because it was like I have to remember all the timing on all this stuff, and I don't want to do that. I just want to be able to, you know, like throw up the block an attack, and then mash the attack button until I can take this guy down.
Right.
And it's like, that's why I didn't enjoy, you know, Dark Souls and Lords of the Fallen. Not to say that they're bad games, it's just I wasn't good at it, and I didn't enjoy it. Now, the one thing, I'm assuming Bloodborne isn't much different, but the one thing that really is drawing me to Bloodborne is that it is multiplayer, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's my idea.
That's the one thing that I would actually consider getting it if I had a good group of friends that I knew I could consistently play the game with.
Wait, is it co-op, or there's co-op
I believe it's co-op. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it is okay. Both? Okay, so you can, like, fight each other and work together?
I think you can team up against other enemies, and you can also just play against other people.
That's cool.
I don't know.
See, like, the co-op is what I'd be more interested in.
Yeah, I don't know if it's co-op, like, in-game, or if it's just co-op multiplayer. I don't know how that... I mean, I don't think I've read anything about that specifically. And there was no... I mean, there was no multiplayer mention at all when we demoed it at Prime, so...
Gotcha.
It's just something to look out for, I guess.
Yeah. We will find out.
Speaking of multiplayer, and this is actually kind of speaking of not multiplayer, Uncharted, The Order. I don't know where I got that from. The Order. I was really hoping would be multiplayer. It had the kind of setup that it could be kind of like a Left 4 Dead style multiplayer. Mm-hmm. But they did announce, I think, over a year ago at this point, that it wouldn't be multiplayer, and that really sucks. But the game still looks great.
Oh,
I'm
it's fantastic.
Excited for it.
It looks super, it's super fun. We got to play pretty much all. That's the thing. The PlayStation experience was awesome, but it didn't really, like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, it didn't do anything new. It did and it didn't. Like, there were new announcements, but like many of the games that were playable there were playable at PAX Prime.
Right, but at the same time, this is also more of a soft launch for the experience.
Right.
In that they just, you know, they didn't have anything new for it because it's not something that devs are used to going to. So they didn't have anything prepared for it. They're just like, oh, there's a new event this year.
Hmm.
So I think that next year, knowing that they're going to do it again, developers will kind of...
They'll be prepared.
I hope they won't hold back at other events, but they'll just be prepared to show more at PlayStation Experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's, well, and that's the other thing. Now you've got to look at the PlayStation experience on the whole as it fits in with PAX and Gamescom and E3. And, like, now it's another venue for primarily PlayStation-only development to wait to announce something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem, mm-hmm. the problem I see for that is because it's so close to Christmas. Like, it's so close. And, I mean, yeah, the holidays, so that the PC police don't jump into the comments and bitch at me. Yeah. You're getting to the point at the end of a year in a development cycle where the game might be ready to launch, you know? Like, so many games come out in November, so it's like, if you... Otherwise, it's like, you either have to announce a game that's coming out a year from now, or announce a game that's coming out immediately. So it's like, what about the PlayStation experience do you... Like, which of these two routes would you want to take? We're going to have our game that comes out really soon ready for you to play, or the game that we're working on right now that is at least a year away, you'll get to, like, play the alpha, you know? And what's the more exciting...
It's at kind of a weird point.
Yeah, because at the same time, it's like, you've probably played it in August at PAX Prime if it's that far along in development.
Right, because... Typically, things don't come out in the summer, so it's either coming out, you know, January, February, or March, or it's not coming out until next holiday. So that's kind of a weird, like, point in development where it's either already done, or it's not quite ready to be played yet.
Right.
And it's like, is that you know, I don't know. I don't do the books for these game companies. I don't know what's the better financial decision to do. Because you could show, and I mean, but that's, it goes for any of these people. You could show a game in early development and lose interest. You could also show a game that's about to come out and people would be like, meh, I don't need to buy this game. I just played it. I don't like it.
Didn't that happen with you with Last of Us?
Yeah.
Like, you were hyped.
Last of Us went on a very, very up and down roller coaster.
And then, like, they delayed it, and you were like,
Started out, I was hyped as all hell for that game, and then, like, so much time went on when we got no information, and I was just like, forget this game. And
yeah, then, like, yeah, there was a definite dead point
bit,
with it.
We got a little bit of information, and I was like, I'm totally back in the driver's seat, let's do this. And then they were like, the game's delayed, and I was like, ah, screw it, I'm out.
And I'm like that in general with
PAX, and then I was back in
with things that I get excited about. It's like, if I don't obsess about it and think about it all the time, I get to a point where I'm just, like, not even worried about it.
Right.
Well, that's, and I was the same way with The Last of Us.
Interested. You've got to keep me remembering that it's a thing. Right. Otherwise, I'm just going to do something else.
I was the same way with The Last of Us, because, I mean, when it first was announced, you know, my buddy was like, hey, did you hear about The Last of Us? I was like, no, what's The Last of Us? He's like, it's this new game that Naughty Dog's making. I was like, okay, Naughty Dog made Uncharted. That's got to be worth checking out. And I checked it out, and I was like, whoa. Super excited. And then, you know, I kept checking the site day after day and nothing came. It got to the point where I was only checking it every week, then every month, and I didn't see anything for so long. And I was like, well, I guess this game's not coming out for a while. What do I care?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And you know, I'm not saying that they need to, like, constantly feed me to, like, to quench my desire for the game. But you do, there is an element of that as a part of it. You have to keep people remembering that your game is a thing so that you have a reason to hold a stake of the market. Like,
true.
I bought an Xbox One because the Halo Master Chief Collection was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care about any, there are no other Xbox One games that really appeal to me. There are some I might buy just because, eventually, but, like, I didn't want it for anything else. So when you tell me that the Master Chief Collection is out and I buy it and then the game is completely broken, I'm not thrilled. Now it's kind of fixed, though. I played it yesterday for a while. It is fixed, mostly.
Yeah, right.
Only once, no, once or twice we were put on opposite, my brother and I were put on opposite teams. But the majority, all the other matches didn't get booted, didn't get randomly uneven teams, like, we were always on the same team, so that part's nice. So,
that's good.
So now I'll get to use my Xbox again.
So, and then there was the God of War sort of announcement. where they talked about thing? Well, just that they were talking about. I didn't see the whole thing, so all I know is they were talking about the older God of Wars, and like, did they announce that they were doing a new God of War?
Or I have no idea.
Something on PS4? I don't know. I just know that the whole, like, a couple of people from the God of War team were up there talking about God of War.
Yeah, and he had a t-shirt. Hang on. I'm about to play the video. I don't think I'm going to be able to hear it, but I think it is a new God of War, but I don't know how it works. But the Shovel Knight, there was the Shovel Knight thing, so.
Yeah, so didn't everybody say something about a new God of War?
Kratos is going to be in Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Man, though, what about that 20th anniversary PlayStation?
I honestly, as cool as it was, I'm really glad that it sold out immediately, because now I don't have, like, that's my excuse. Like, there's no chance. I couldn't have possibly gotten it. You know, like, if I had a chance to get it and I couldn't, I would hate myself for it.
Well, yeah, and my thing is it's $100 more for a console that does the exact same thing. It's just gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want that controller, though. Like, I want them to release the controller on its own, but I also don't, because then it's like everyone who just bought it is like, well, that just cheapens the experience.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you could just buy a gray. You could just buy some gray spray paint.
You could.
Yeah. Take the shell off and just repaint it.
Yeah. So we.
But
could do
then
that.
you wouldn't get the touchpad that they have. It's got all the symbols etched in it, which is really cool. And I also.
Well, that's kind of cool.
The touchpad has the symbols etched in it. The PlayStation button, the actual logo on it is colored.
It's the colored, yeah.
It's the colored version, which I really
I'm sure somebody will make that on eBay. I'll just buy that and swap mine out.
Just the button itself. Yep. Yeah, I would do that. That's cool.
The button could already be online. I've never actually looked.
That'd be pretty sweet.
But I think that's the biggest difference is the button and the symbols being etched on the touchpad. Of course, the whole PlayStation itself, the matte part of it, is all etched with the symbols. You know, it's got the, what is it, like, circle, X, square, triangle, and then a 2. Mm-hmm. The 2 right before the 0, before the circle, so it looks like 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's really cool. I mean, the response to it was kind of interesting to me, because, like, it was split right down the middle, where, like, a lot of people were like, that's ugly, why would you want that? And then everyone else was like, oh my god, it's amazing, I have to have it. And you could tell that the defining line was, you know, how old are you? Did you have a PlayStation 1? Did you did you have it long enough to really enjoy it?
Right.
I have both of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too, and, like, some people don't understand, like, it's done because it's in retrospect of the original console. Maybe some people are just like, huh?
Right.
There was something before the PlayStation 4?
Yeah, and a lot of the people were like, oh, you're just nostalgia, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yeah, that's the point.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Like, that's okay. It's okay to be nostalgic about it. It was a great time. It's okay to remember it. And it's nice that now, with this awesome next-gen thing, I can look at it every time I see it and remember, hey, back in the day, I used to play the PlayStation 1. Yeah. The last thing, I think, that we haven't touched on that kind of jumped out at me at the PlayStation experience was Until Dawn. And I'm not a big horror game kind of person, but interesting to me. I will probably not buy it because every time I buy a horror game, I'm usually pretty disappointed in it. Evil Within.
Because it's not good. It's scary.
It underdelivered, honestly, in a lot of facets.
Right.
But Until Dawn looks interesting. It kind of looks to me like The Cabin in the Woods without the political spin. The Cabin in the Woods. Well, it was. I guess it was more of a religious spin than a political spin. But it looks like just a legitimate, like, oh, these kids are out in this cabin and they're gonna get killed by creepy things.
The game plays like a movie.
Yeah.
That was, it was playable at PAX Prime as well, and we were like, I got stuck in the special enclosed booth.
Which I think I'd rather play for a horror game. It was more of an interactive narrative, kind of like a Heavy Rain type
think
game.
Heavy Rain, yeah. Think Heavy Rain horror movie.
Yeah, see, that I would prefer to do that where I'm not necessarily in control of what's going on, although I am, and I'm still experiencing it.
Right. It's a movie in the sense that the ending, you know, the path you chose, like, the path has been laid out for you. You have the control of choosing a little bit of how the story goes.
Right. You know? See, I much prefer that as far as horror games, because I don't really care for horror games that much. And a lot of times, I can be kind of like a wimp when it comes to horror games. Like, I don't get scared that easily. But it's like, I just don't really feel like going forward right now. I'm just going to hang out here.
Yeah, that was me when I played The Last of Us.
Oh, see, I enjoyed The Last of Us. The Last of Us wasn't that scary.
It's scary. I just couldn't deal with the clickers and stuff.
See, okay, but while we're on horror games, Alien Isolation is one of the greatest horror genre games I've ever played. Because it's not so much scary as it is just tense, where you're just like, oh crap, where is he? Like, I gotta get through and I gotta do this, but at the same time, it's like, when is he gonna jump out and just kill me? Like, that game was amazing.
We should have picked that up instead of Call of Duty.
That's a good game. If you get a chance, definitely rent it or something.
Nope.
Yeah, that's Whoosh. The thing. I just don't want to, like... Why can't I just not like horror games? Jeez.
Just play one.
I did.
Oh, you played Resident Evil. Yeah, Dead Space and Resident Evil. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Like, that's the thing. I can't even play, like, Resident Evil by myself. Like, I got Mike, and Mike has to co-op with me. I can't do it. Like, I mean, Mike and I have had this discussion more than once. I can't do it because I put the story in my head, and then my brain's like, oh, we can do all kinds of crazy stuff with this. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to do that at all. I don't want to relive this thing in my head, because then I'm like, oh, God. Now I'm like looking every time I looking under the car for a zombie to bite my ankles. It's like, no thanks. No thanks.
I don't think of it.
I just, yeah, it's the problem is the graphics are so realistic now that, like, it, I just can't do it. It's so bad. Like, the, like, half falling apart, like, dead bones and muscle and blood and all that. I'm just like, nope, not interested. You give me, even, well, the problem is even, like, Resident Evil 2 on PS1, but the difference is that was the graphics of today then, you know? Like, that was super realistic, and it was like, oh, God, look at it. Mm-hmm. I just remember playing the GameCube one. The GameCube, because the GameCube one was super realistic. Like, for the time, it was so, so good. But, like, I love the story, though. I do love this. Like, I love the story of the Resident Evil series. I just can't play it myself.
I love the game so much.
But I will watch them. I will watch a person play them, which is why I love share play. I'll watch you play Until Dawn. No problem. But I will not play myself like that. I'll never I don't know that you could pay me enough to want to do it, because I just can't. I just don't like those games at all. I'm just like, nope, not going forward. The game ends here. They're just going to starve to death in this room because I am not taking another step. Like... That's
so we bought a lot of groceries, right?
Yeah, okay, they got a lot of stuff in this cabin.
We're just staying here.
And like, in my thing is like the it's what's her name, Hayden Panettiere, however you pronounce her last name.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
supposed to be her, like she's the character in the, you know, modeled in the game, and like she's running around in this bath towel, and I'm just like, that must be the like finest bath towel on the planet to be able to stay together, like. And be running through, like, a cabin. Like, pretty sure that's never gonna happen. Like,
yeah.
Like, what, did you pin that thing together? I'm pretty sure that's supposed to fall.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know. I just... But that's, like, it's one of those things where, like, they just do it in the movie, and I'm like... But nobody's complaining, like, why is she running around in a towel? How come she didn't have time to get clothes? And it's like, I don't know, because it's a dumb game. It's a game, all right,
because
guys?
Because you're being attacked.
Yeah, you're being chased by some creepy dude.
She's like, hold on, just don't kill me. I need to put my clothes on.
Just pants on, all right? Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. I just can't. Scary games, no.
scary games are no go for you guys then?
No, not for me. Hug played Alien Isolation like a boss.
I played Alien.
That's true.
Amazing.
And you played The Evil Within. Like The Evil Within.
I was too creepy. I was more annoyed with Evil Within because by the time it got to a point where it was actually starting to get scary, they threw in these super annoying enemies that took up all your ammo to kill because they were like completely invisible. And you're just this invisible enemy is going to attack me and I'm going to have to use up all of my ammo and weapons to kill it. And it's like, I could be scared right now, but I'm more just annoyed.
Yep. I remember that part.
I don't even know what part you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
The box.
It's like where you first get into the hospital.
Yep.
First get into the hospital.
Like right after the really creepy spider lady chases you.
I never saw that part.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't remember that part. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I was in the demo. I know what you're talking about. Because I'm like, hospital. Yeah, those dudes. Yeah, they were pretty miserable. That game just looked really good, though. Like, it just, like, you know, from a mechanical standpoint, it played really well.
Yeah.
It's just, like, another game that has, like, a subpar story.
Yeah.
Seems to be a trend.
Destiny.
Bungie. Yeah. Made Halo and then this.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
I think we've gone a little long.
Well,
we had a lot to talk about.
We tend to ramble.
Yeah. But as we always do at the end of every episode, we do shout outs. So I didn't think of my shout out. So somebody else can do their shout out while I think.
I know my shout out.
Go, Mike.
My shout out is to you, sir, for joining us.
To me? Aw. That's so sweet.
That's kind of a I'm going to go ahead and call you out on that being a BS shout out because he's going to get shouted out in the post. He's going to get shouted out in the post as the guest of the show. So it's like a throw. It's like a gimme.
Yeah.
It's like a gimme. Whatever. It's
fine. I took the easy way out.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
Not cool.
I gotta shout my boy out. Come on, man.
Yeah. My shout out goes out to Baghead Inc., Octoramen, and Vex Doppel for their pretty stellar work on their levels in Little Big Planet 3 that were showed in the 20 years of PlayStation montage that they did. Those levels they made in Little Big Planet 3 were pretty sweet, and if you have Little Big Planet 3, you can play them because they are all team picked. Well, so, yeah.
And they all have Twitters. I will put them all, because I put them in the post for the each episode. I put the shout out. So I know Avery's is just at Octoramen, and then is Baghead's just at Baghead?
It's just at Baghead Inc. Yeah. And then Vex Doppel, I think, is Vex _ Doppel, something like that. I can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll put it in. It'll be in the post so people can figure it out. I still have no idea who I want to shout out.
Wow, way to come prepared.
He's usually prepared.
It totally threw me off when he shouted you out, because I was like, that's a gimme. That's totally not.
Whatever, like, you wouldn't have done it.
No, I wouldn't, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. No. You know who I'm going to shout out, actually? I am going to shout out Chariot Game. Because I am still playing. Because we hyped them at PAX Prime, but it's free on Xbox, or was free on Games with Gold, and I've been playing that game more and more, and I still enjoy it, but I like enjoy it more and more, and it's a really good game. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, my Xbox is right next to me because I've got that carrying case open because I'm gonna get photos for it for the review. But yeah, I believe it's just at Chariot Game. And the game is called Chariot, and you're this little prince. Well, you're the princess, rather, as if you're the first player, and then you're the fiance if you're the second player, because it's a couch co-op, and you have to bring your father's dead bones to his final resting place, which is a weird kind of thing when you think about the literal explanation of the game. But basically, the two of you drag this little chariot around with ropes, and you go through all these obstacles in these different types of caverns, or there's like lava things and there's like ice levels, and you just have to get the chariot from the beginning to the end. And it's actually a super fun game. And it's like, it's almost like a kid game, but it's not a kid game because some of the puzzles are like downright frustrating. So I'm going to shout them out as the as the game pick, because it's a solid one.
Sir.
It's a good one. And it's great because it's on PlayStation 4, but it's also on Xbox One. It's free on Xbox with Games for Gold. I believe it is $15 or $20 on the PlayStation Store. Mm-hmm. So, but that's it. That's right. That's it. Everybody did a shout out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're now thanking Hug for his attendance as a special guest.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah.
Thank you very much. And
I think that's it. So as always, we will catch you
on the flip
side.